The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line. You're on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy November 1st. It's crazy. We are already in the month of November, but hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, happy November. Fall is rolling on as Halloween is over. The next holiday is Thanksgiving. And if you are celebrating and decorating for Christmas and listening to Christmas music, it is too early. It is now time for Thanksgiving. It's still fall. Football is still here. We can celebrate Christmas on December 1st. We do not celebrate Christmas or sing Christmas songs or decorate for Christmas until December. I will die on that hill. Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. This is one of the best months of the year. The weather's changing. The leaves are changing. It's not Christmas time yet. Sorry, I had to open the show with that as we have hit November 1st. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 106.7 here on the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Carter, happy Tuesday, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I still am feeling the excitement of the events of yesterday morning, and I just... there's so many possibilities.
Well, I think we would be neglecting if we didn't say happy birthday to Brian Harsin.
Fair enough.
So,
but it's like the scene in Step Brothers. There's so much room for activities.
You want to build some bunk beds?
Yes. I mean, there's so many possibilities right now.
Right. Well, there's just so many things to talk about and so many directions we can go with conversations. And over the next few weeks, really, is what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do, is talk about all of these different things. Of course, yesterday, if for some reason you have been in a coma or living under a rock or you've slept for the last couple of days, Auburn hires a new athletic director and they fire Brian Harsin all within like an hour is when the reports and all the news came in. It became official last night around 6 o'clock or so, 5:30, 6 o'clock, that Auburn officially hired Cohen, from Mississippi State as the athletic director. And yesterday afternoon around 11:30, 12 o'clock, Auburn announced that they fired Brian Harsin. He released a statement today about his time at Auburn, his being fired from Auburn. And it was interesting about just his talking about being fired from Auburn, right? And I want to read it in case you have not seen it yet. I do want to read it and let you all kind of make your own judgment. We will talk about it as well. Phone lines are open today, by the way. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. Later on in the show, we'll talk to Trey Wallace, our good buddy from OutKick, who covers the SEC. Really interested to get his takes on everything going on right now in Auburn, so we will talk to him later on in the show. But 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. Here is the statement from Brian Harsin. It was released earlier today about his time at Auburn and being fired as Auburn's head football coach. And I quote from Brian Harsin in his statement, "I am incredibly disappointed that I won't get to lead the Auburn football program and these players into the future. I poured my heart and soul into this program and team. We stood together in the face of considerable challenges and outside noise. Through my entire time at Auburn, we did things the right way, which is not always the easy way. I am very proud of my resolve shown by everyone, or of the resolve shown by everyone in our facility, and incredibly grateful for those at Auburn who stood by me and my family. I am certain that this group of players will do great things. I will miss you guys tremendously, but will always be there for you and do anything I can to help moving forward. Thank you for believing in me." Again, this is the statement released by Brian Harsin. "Like any coach with the benefit of hindsight, there are things that could have been done differently. I don't pretend to be perfect, but I am certain I will be better moving forward because of this experience. I truly believe Auburn has the potential to be a championship program once again. The resources, financial support, and the fan base are in place. There are good people throughout this program and university. With complete alignment, the possibilities are endless. I hurt for the coaches, staff members, and families who are left in limbo. This team and staff came here fully committed to our vision of what we could accomplish in time. That time has been cut short. They will all preserve because of their tremendous character and ability, and I will do everything I can to help them with this transition. As is life, my family and I will now turn the page and chart our next course. Always grateful for the positive relationships formed and memories made on the plains. Thank you for allowing us to be part of the Auburn family. End quote from Brian Harsin.
I want to ask him, like, what are three memories that you made that were positive? I'm just curious.
It'd be interesting to see what that answer would be.
What is it? The time you beat Ole Miss. Sure. And that's it?
I mean, there's not very many. Well, what is your initial takeaway from this statement released by Brian Harsin earlier today?
I mean, it's not unexpected. There's some interesting parts about it. To put out in a statement that he poured out his heart and soul into this program and gave it everything he had, that's just a bold-faced lie, and we know that. We know that to be true. And then the other fact is there is a little jab in there, and it's with complete alignment. Auburn can be, I forget exactly what the phrasing was, but with complete alignment, the possibilities are endless. There is an aspect of making an excuse for why it didn't work out and putting blame elsewhere. He didn't live up to the standards that are set at Auburn. He didn't do enough. His effort level was poor. He did not deserve to be the head coach into the month of November. And I think we've seen that play out. And now we're seeing a team. It's going to be fascinating to watch this team on Saturday. Do we see a different level of energy? God forbid Auburn looks competent on offense and wins a football game on the road, because then, oh boy, what does that say about Brian Harsin, Eric Keesaw, and the other coaches, Brad Bedell, the coaches that have been removed from the equation at this point?
Yeah, we saw pretty much all of the Boise, not all, but pretty close. Schmetting is the only Boise guy that survived the cleaning of the house yesterday evening from Auburn football. Schmetting survived, but basically everybody else that was brought with Brian Harsin for Boise, they are gone. They are out. Auburn made a move, and they made everybody pack their bags and say, get out of town. And looking at this statement from Brian Harsin, little over 24 hours since he was fired. Today is his birthday. And looking at this statement and sort of just breaking it down a little bit, obviously you can tell he's disappointed. You can tell that he felt for the people that were with him, his players. He said he put everything into this program. You can make that argument whether he did or not. I think some very big situations would point to where he did not. Then there's the point that you talked about, Carter, was the jab in there that says if everybody is aligned, the possibilities are endless. And we obviously know what he's talking about, or better yet, who he is talking about. And we have discussed on this show how the time is coming for Auburn to be fully aligned, I think. And what it needs now is a head football coach that is in line with all of that. And that was what made Brian Harsin and the hire of Brian Harsin so confusing at the time. And ultimately, that is what has made this decision possible. And that's why we sit here today on November 1st with Brian Harsin no longer being the head football coach. Sure, did he get the absolute fairest shake in the world? No. But he also didn't help himself either. And we know that he came into this entire situation, he came into this job with the it's my way or the highway, and I'm going to tell the people that are here, the powers that be, if you want to use that term, I'm going to tell them that exact same thing, that I'm going to do it my way, and you can't tell me what to do. And we saw this not play out very well over less than a two-year span with Brian Harsin as the head coach at Auburn. Now, did they try and get rid of him in February? Yeah, they did. And they didn't successfully do it, obviously. But at the same time, Brian Harsin didn't help himself at all. He didn't help himself in recruiting. He didn't help himself in relationship building with players or people in the staff or people within the university or people outside of the university that contribute to this program. He didn't help himself at all there. And so to come in with a statement after you get fired, obviously you would want him to say something after being fired from the program. And to have that little bit of a last-second jab on your way out the door, I don't know why he necessarily wanted to do it that way, but I think he wanted to get his point across. And maybe, and it sort of comes off as, it's not just me, right? And yes, I failed, but it wasn't all on me, is sort of how it comes off in my eyes when I read that and sort of hear it, is, yes, I failed, but I didn't have full control type of thing. Don't put it all on me, is basically what I think Brian Harsin's trying to get at here.
Well, I mean, isn't it interesting when you look across all the Auburn sites right now, the various, even AL.com, there are articles everywhere just telling the horror stories of a lot of them specifically about Brian Harsin's tenure, his effort on the recruiting trail. And then we have some about the dysfunction of the program in-house as well. I know AL.com just put one out that you were you particularly were enjoying.
Yeah, it's an article on AL.com, and to give credit, it is from Nubias Wilborn. I hope I'm pronouncing his first name correctly, on AL.com. He's got a big, lengthy article. It's called Inside the End of Brian Harsin's Auburn Tenure, and it's just talking about the bumpy ride that this entire situation was with Brian Harsin as the head coach at Auburn, talking about the 6-2 start, then talking about this 5-game slide, then talking about losing coordinator after coordinator after coordinator, talking about missing big time meetings with big time people that Brian Harsin said, I don't want to go to. Right? And watching recruiter and watching coordinators, after coordinator leave this program. And Harsin having to scramble and try to go and get other guys. But the story that sticks out to me, and it's a quote that, I mean, it's something else. It's when Derek Mason was here. Obviously, Derek Mason was the defensive coordinator here at Auburn. And according to this AL.com article, Harsin and Mason had an interaction where Mason said, quote, I've been a head coach in this league longer than you have. Said that to Brian Harsin, did Derek Mason. He said, I've been a head coach in this league longer than you have. And Harsin replied, oh, you mean at Vanderbilt? And that's how that situation went down. And that's why we saw Derek Mason take the Oklahoma State job for a $400,000 pay cut, by the way. So that's just a little inside look of what was going on behind the scenes with Brian Harsin. And I want to make it clear that when Harsin was hired and he started talking in the press conferences, right, you felt, and I myself included, I felt good about it, right? I was like, okay, this guy's coming in here. He's going to be that hard dude, right? The hard, you know what, right? He's going to come in and try to change the culture around a program that had sort of slipped out of Gus Malzahn's hands a little bit. He's going to come in and change this thing. He's going to make you work for what you earn and earn what you got type of thing. And I could really see this going in the right direction. But he did it the complete wrong way, right? You've seen guys do this, right? But this is not the correct way to do it. He just pissed everybody off. And
well,
and
that's how it
went down.
I think there was a portrayal of what he was going to be. And it's not even so much that he went about it the wrong way. To me, it's that he was a total fraud as opposed to what when in terms of what he was saying he was going to do. The toughness, the 4th-and-1 mentality, that 1-0 mentality, none of that was real. It was all fake, and it was all lip service.
Which is disappointing.
Oh yeah, and the more you're gonna hear more and more about. I mean, Brandon Marcello did a video with CBS Sports Network where he laid out that Brian Harsin's the worst coach in the history of Auburn football.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. I think if you were going to make a Mount Rushmore of worst coaches in Auburn history, I don't think he's that much farther than second on the list. I mean, it's a discussion about Brian Harsin and Tony Barbee. It's a discussion. And that's saying something. And we all know how Auburn fans feel about Tony Barbee, which is why if I'm an Auburn fan, you know what I want? Wherever Brian Harsin goes, somebody tell John Cohen to get him on the schedule and bring him back.
To play him?
Bring him back.
Yeah, to play him. That's interesting. Yeah, look, I've seen that quote from Marcello that he said. And of course, we know Brandon Marcello. He used to be an Auburn writer. Now he's doing big things now. And he did. He had a quote, and he said Brian Harsin is the worst coach in Auburn football history. And you can make that argument. You really, really can because of how this went down. He was here for a year and a half, folks. He didn't even make it a whole 2 years. The recruiting, terrible, right? And the on-the-field talent.
The recruiting, unprecedentedly awful.
On-field performance, bad.
Again, it's been 70 years since it's been this bad on the field.
Yeah.
70 years. But and to my point that I was trying to make yesterday that I don't think I've completely got out there, the last time Auburn had a run where they lost 10 out of 13 games was 1951 and 1952. You want to know what the difference there is? There was a trajectory and a hope of building something because then Auburn immediately over the next 9 years goes 64, 16, and 3 and wins a national championship and is one of the most dominant programs in the country. So that should paint the picture right there that there was not hope with what's going on right now. Things are going under Brian Harsin. We're going to get significantly worse in 2023 if he had stayed as head coach.
We got to get to our first break here in hour number one. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. More reactions to what is going on with Auburn with Brian Harsin officially being fired as the head coach. Stories are coming out. More and more information about the behind-the-scenes disaster that was Brian Harsin at Auburn football. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. More of On the Line when we come back.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Continuing on talking about Brian Harsin's situation, he is out as Auburn's head football coach. Just again, talking about really what today is about is all of the stories and the articles coming out of just the behind-the-scenes disaster that was Brian Harsin at this Auburn football team and this Auburn football program. You can find articles everywhere. Players talking about it, former coaches talking about it, reporters talking about recruiting, and just it we know it wasn't a good time for Brian Harsin and Auburn, but as the stories keep coming out and the quotes keep coming out, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And look, I don't think this is the end. I think we're just going to continue to hear things about Brian Harsin during his tenure at Auburn. We got a couple phone calls to get to, though. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing good, Terry. How are you, man?
Pretty good. I want to publicly thank Carter for acknowledging Brian Harsin was the worst coach of all time. It's him and Barfield, but hey, I don't think I'm on a stretch there.
Well, Terry, I mean, I think that there was at least some sort of hope that you could score some. Correct me if I'm wrong, in the Barfield years, and I don't think the future felt quite this bleak as it did with Brian Harsin. Now I think that there is a window of hope in this chasm of darkness that looked like what Auburn football was going to be in 2023 and beyond, thanks to Brian Harsin.
Yeah, because I genuinely believe now Auburn is going to beat Mississippi State Saturday.
I am not going to go that far just because I know that there's so much upheaval in the coaching staff in terms of what the roles are, and that didn't get settled until this morning. I know that they have not started practicing yet for Mississippi State, so I think they're going to be at a disadvantage preparation-wise, but, I mean, you could see a more inspired team, absolutely. So, like, it wouldn't shock me if they figured out a way to go win, but I'm not at the point where I think that they're where now I believe that they are going to go on the road in Starkville and win.
Well, after what happened last year, it'd be a sweet victory.
Oh yeah, my God, it'd be massive, no doubt.
Are you guys aware that his daughter was wearing a Boise State shirt to Tiger Talk?
I did hear that, and you can also point out that one of his daughters was in Boise this weekend too.
Yeah, all the stuff's going to come out. I mean, I'm reveling in the people are saying the same things I've been saying for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told everybody he was questionable at best 2 years ago when he was hired.
And yeah.
I never believed for 1 minute that his family wanted to be in Auburn.
Right.
I think that's fair. I mean, I've seen people talk about on like Instagram and stuff videos of the family complaining about there's nothing to do in Auburn and they disliked Auburn, which.
Well, I just out of curiosity, what's the time frame for a new head coach? Because you see all the candidates out there. And naturally, everybody's voice is depending because some of them are just out now ridiculous.
Well, I think it depends on who you hire. It does because, like, I mean, if we're talking Lane Kiffin, you got to wait until at least Thanksgiving because that's when the Egg Bowl is. If we're talking Hugh Freeze, it could be sooner. Deion Sanders could be sooner. I don't know. Probably through the end of their seasons as well.
I still think you're looking at the day after the Iron Bowl, right around that time.
Or that Monday.
Monday is where you're looking at to, like, that is like the latest that you need to have a head coach, I think.
Or if it's Matt Rhule, you can get Matt Rhule tomorrow. He's not doing anything right now. Did we lose you, Terry? I think we lost you, Terry.
We may have lost Terry right there. But, no, I think when you start talking about time frame, I think that's sort of what you're looking at is right after the Iron Bowl, and you're right, it does depend on who you're going after and who you get as well. But let's get back to the phone lines. We got a few more minutes before we get to another break. 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hello.
Hey, we got you, man.
Hey, War Eagle.
Hey, War Eagle.
So I'm conflicted, and it's probably because I don't read enough. And you guys probably love when we're winning, and you know the listeners are up. But this is also a good way to get listeners too. So I put a lot of faith into turning you guys on and other radio stations and hearing the news.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we appreciate it. Well, I mean, look, I mean, you could say, and we can make the argument that we get more callers and more engagement when Auburn's losing and going down the wrong direction.
I do the after the game show, and after the LSU and the Penn State losses may have been the most fired up that the fan base has been year.
Well, initially with the losses, sure, but once it's like a given, I'm sure it's just like Saturday tailgating where I'm like, where is everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And
agreed.
I'm scared all these people that come and set up these tailgates and drive in, they're going to stop coming. And then, so that was my big fear. Called every station, like, don't fire Gus. Like, we got people coming to tailgate. You know, I know we're not Bama, I know we're not Georgia, but two things I want to talk about. With Harsin, the whole scandal with the girl and them trying to fire him, and before that, the whole scandal with a coup and getting Kevin Steele in makes Auburn look really bad. And, again, this is my preference with, I hope you guys did more research than me, and I'm just trying to use you guys as cliff notes. How much is this? Is Auburn as corrupt? And I worked at Auburn, so I know a little bit of that answer, but Auburn's more good than bad. But how much of it is Auburn as corrupt, or these people are really that bad? Because first start with the Harsin thing. I'm going to hang up and listen with the girl. Was that true? Was that all made up? Because that's bad. That's bad if we have people out there, making this stuff up, unless it's true. So tell me about that, and then go back to the whole source of this problem with Steele. I mean, Gus was winning games against Bama. He wasn't doing bad. We had a good team. They were young. We just needed to be like Jason Campbell and let Bo grow up, and he was going to turn into a great quarterback. Oh, we can see that now. We can see it now. Amazing quarterback. Imagine if he had those receivers that all left and everyone. But just talk about that. I'm going to hang up and listen. And, again, appreciate you guys being smarter than me.
Yeah, hey, appreciate the call, man. So addressing both of his points, I'm going to let you start, right, and I'll give my two cents as we got a couple minutes. We may have to get to some of it after the break.
Yeah. And we probably will. Going back to February, the investigation into Brian Harsin centered 0% around the what turned out to be message board and Twitter rumors about him and his assistant. That entire inquiry was about treatment of players and coaches, particularly black players and black coaches. That is well documented that it was that was the source of the inquiry, and that's when Auburn started looking into it in February, and that was the entire investigation into potentially is there something here that needs to be handled in a fire, a change need to be made for cause. Turned out that there was not a fireable offense in the inquiry, and that's how you ended up where you are with Brian Harsin as the head coach going into this 2022 season. Going back before that, Gus was a good coach, not a great coach, but we will pick up on that after the break and kind of break that down.
Yes, we will. We'll continue talking about that. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. More of the Tuesday edition of On the Line when we come back.
Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Continuing on, talking about the ongoing situation with Brian Harsin being fired as Auburn's head football coach, still addressing the phone call we had before the break. Again, we appreciate him calling in. 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you as well. His second part of his question that he wanted us to address was talking about is Auburn, the word he used was, is Auburn corrupt or is it the crew and the people that were here under the Brian Harsin regime, right? That's sort of where he was wanting us to go with this conversation.
He was wanting us to talk about the Kevin Steele, Gus Malzahn situation. And I would like to address Gus Malzahn first. Gus Malzahn's a good coach. He's not a great coach by any indication. There was a failure to adjust schematically, to adjust with the times, because college football changed and accounted for the hurry up offense.
He was ahead of the game, and then they adjusted.
I never felt like he adjusted to that adjustment.
I agree.
When you look at Gus Malzahn in his college coaching tenure, I still think this is true. I did the research on it a couple years ago, and I don't see where it would have changed. I don't think Gus Malzahn has ever had a successful high school quarterback in his college coaching tenure that he recruited himself. He has either inherited a quarterback, had a transfer quarterback, or a junior college quarterback. I don't think it's happened once with a high school quarterback. Bo Nix is the closest he has been, and Bo Nix at Auburn had good moments, but then also was wildly inconsistent. The highs were ultra high. The lows were very, very low, and you did not see that development around Bo Nix under Gus Malzahn in 2 years. I think you did not see Bo Nix get that much better from year one to year two under Malzahn. I think the best thing for Bo Nix was to leave Auburn and go to Oregon, where he had a better offensive line. He had better weapons than he had ever had at Auburn.
100%.
And he had Kenny Dillingham, who is clearly developing him. There was development under Brian Harsin with Bo Nix. He got better.
A little bit. But he did get better.
There were signs that he was trying and he was improving and there was some sort of quarterback coaching going on. But a lot of that development gets kind of masked when the offensive line is as bad as it was and the receivers were as bad as they were. And it's now you see him with adequate talent, adequate to top-end talent with respect to the conference that he is in around him. He has kind of flourished, and he went from this kind of flower bud that was, you always thought, man, he could be something so great, and now you're seeing it all like bloom, and you're seeing him become a Heisman candidate.
I was about to say, well, we went from making jokes about him being a dark horse for the Heisman for him legitimately being a dark horse for the Heisman with Bo Nix. So I know there's more on this we want to talk about, but with the Bo Nix thing, yeah, there's no doubt. Gus Malzahn didn't develop him at all. Gus Malzahn didn't develop a quarterback at all. And we did see Bo get a little bit better with Brian Harsin, not a ton, but I like what you were saying, where you could see where he was trying to get better and was attempting to get better. And when he went to Oregon, he has no doubt gotten better. I mean, you can't deny that whatsoever. Sure, he's playing in the the Pac-12, and sure, he's playing against some lesser talent, but there's still good football teams and good talent out in the Pac-12, and Bo Nix has gotten better. So you can say that all you want, but to continue on with some of the Gus stuff that, Carter, you were talking about.
Well, and then I think Gus's biggest issue was late in the tenure. The recruiting was not at the level it needed to be at. It was, in fact, really, really bad in that 2021 class.
That Harsin took over the 2020 season.
Yes, it was awful. And there were no signs of improvement, and it was very, very odd. And then it's the 7 straight years of 4-plus losses. And it's the losses to really bad South Carolina teams and things like that that kind of started to build up. And then, not that I'm not sure it was the straw that broke the camel's back. The back may have already been broken, but I keep coming back to the epitome, the quote that to me symbolized that Gus Malzahn is done at Auburn and he can't get it back was when he stepped up to the podium and he said 6 wins at Auburn is a really good season or a good season. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to make anybody happy at Auburn, and that's not good enough.
And the argument that a lot of people made for Gus Malzahn was he beats Alabama, right? He's one of the best coaches to beat Nick Saban, and he's got more wins against Nick Saban. I get that. That's fine. But for me, beating Alabama but still going 7-4, that's not okay for me, right? As wanting to Auburn to be great, sure, it's great to beat Alabama. I love it. We all love to see Auburn beat Alabama. But for that to be your 7th or 8th win of the season and still have 3 or 4 losses, like, I'm not cool with that. I want to beat Alabama and go to a national championship or go to a college football playoff. I want both of them. That's the argument that a lot of people make with Gus, is that, sure, he could consistently beat Alabama is better than anybody else could when Nick Saban is there. But Malzahn was still going to get you 3 or 4 losses in a season, and that's just not what I want watching Auburn and trying for Auburn to be great. Let's get to the phone lines, though. We got a couple callers, 334-321-1390. Welcoming in Terry again. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thank y'all for having me back.
Of course.
Guys, how deep are we into the playoffs, say no, this the playoffs, 7, 8, 9 years now?
Let's see. It is 14. Yeah, 14, so we're going on year 8.
It's been how many times?
Zero.
Exactly.
But Terry, they were in the first ever rankings that came out.
They were. That is a true statement. They were.
Okay. Any port in a storm, right, Carter?
Yeah. That's right. But yes, going into year 8 of the college football playoff.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, guys, my last 2 questions was this. How soon do you think we're going to make the hire? Do you think it'll be an offensive-minded coach?
I think that there's not many defensive-minded coaches that I can really think of right
now. You've got
now. I mean, it would be like the only name that pops out to me right now off the top of my head is Dan Lanning. Mm. He would be kind of a outside tier candidate, but
way outside.
Well, I mean, I think Dan Lanning would be really, really good at Auburn. I will say that, but I think that they're
Brent Venables at Oklahoma.
He's not gonna. He's not gonna come to Auburn.
No, I'm saying defensive minded coach.
Oh. I'm talking about candidates for the Auburn job.
Okay.
But Dan Lanning is the only one that I could see potentially pop up as a candidate that jumps out to me right now as a defensive minded coach. Matt Rhule, is he an offensive guy? He's an offensive guy, right?
Yeah, but think about where college football is, though. Most guys are offensive-minded guys because that's right. Where college football is going, right? I mean, right. You look around college football, it takes 40 points to win games now.
I guess technically Deion is not. But here's the thing. When you look at college football now, I think the best strategy is to get a true CEO type of coach he handles all the day-to-day, like all the big picture stuff, and then he goes and recruits his butt off. I think that is the formula for success in my mind. I think that's what you're seeing Kirby and Nick Saban do. And I think maybe play calling is becoming less and less of a thing for head coaches. So it may not theoretically matter what side of the ball as long as the staff is filled in adequately behind as far as it goes schematically.
See, I know somebody's going to call him and say Deion played corner and he's a defensive guy, but Deion's a smart enough guy to know where the game is played and how it's played in 2022.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
And that's that. He goes against great athletes, and they can transition either side of the ball, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands, isn't his son a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean he knows what he's talking about. I mean he was a good player, obviously. He's proving
he was a great player.
Yeah, you're right. And he's proving and still in the process of proving to be a good coach. That we don't know that on a massive scale yet, but that's my concern with Deion. I know we haven't talked a ton about coaching candidates just yet, but we do have the rest of the week to get into a lot of this. But
sure.
with Deion, that's my only drawback is I do have a couple, but that one is just how good of a coach would he be on this big of a scale? Doesn't mean he wouldn't be good.
I think you got the rest of the month to talk about.
Yeah, no, you're right. And to kind of go with your timing, and you're asking about when this is going to be done, I think it's got to be done right after the Iron Bowl, right when the regular season of college football is over, before bowl games and before playoff and all that mess. That is when Auburn will make a decision, I hope, because then that gives the brand new coach, whoever it is, about 3 weeks to hit the recruiting trail and the transfer portal really, really hard before the early signing period, where we know about 85% of players have started signing with their schools in December. So I think that's when the decision will be made. That gives them about a month, the new AD and Auburn, to find a guy, and there's no doubt they've got names that they got to go after.
You freeze. Take care, guys.
Appreciate it, Terry. That's Terry joining us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line yet again. 334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you as well.
Yeah, we lost our second caller on line two.
Well, hopefully they'll call back. That's all right.
But I do find it interesting. There will be a rush to offensive-minded head coach, and I don't think it necessarily matters if you handle it correctly.
Right, I agree. And to kind of address that a little bit as Carter answers the phones, talking about that, I like where he's going about a CEO type of coach where, and I like, you know, kind of what I was talking about too, where today's world of college football, you're not an offensive-minded coach. That's just a coach nowadays. You have to be offensive-minded if you want to win in today's game. Look at Tennessee. They're scoring 50 points a game, and that's what you have to do. Look at Alabama. They do the same thing. Look at Ohio State. The best teams in the country score a lot of points, and I don't think a coach necessarily has to be a, quote, offensive-minded. I think that's just what a coach is nowadays in the game of college football because of where the game of college football is. Let's get to the phone lines, though. 334-321-1390. Daniel, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I love the show.
Good. Well, appreciate we appreciate it. That.
Yeah. I had a kind of an odd question, I guess you could say. It's kind of specific, but a friend asked me, and I had no idea how to answer. So with targeting, if a player is ejected in the second half of a game, they have to miss the first half of the next game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what if, say, this is either your team is not good enough to make a bowl game or you're in a bowl game, do you say you're ejected in the second half of that game? Are you now suspended for the first half of the following season's first game?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but That's certainly an interesting question. I'm pretty sure we've seen situations like that, and I highly doubt that you are suspended for the first game.
I wouldn't think so, right?
The first game of the season.
I honestly don't know, but surely they're not going to make you wait 7 months to.
We need to find a way to get Smoke Monday on the phone, because if anybody knows, it would be Smoke Monday.
Yes, he would know. But that's an interesting question. I wouldn't think so. Let's see. Yeah, I really don't know, but surely not. I mean,
it's a fascinating question.
But I mean, it would carry over into like a postseason game. Like, yes. It would definitely carry over into that. But into the next season, my guess would be no.
Gotcha. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call. That is, we'll have to see if we can get on that. Today is a day where we need Mackenzie, who is our intern. She runs our board a couple days a week for us. She's our show producer. This is the day we need her here. So she can Google that and see if we could get an answer on that. I don't know. Surely not, though, right?
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing there be punishments carried out from season to season. I mean, especially like you have kids that transfer schools and all that, and I don't know. I feel like that's needless kind of stuff to track down and figure out before each season. I highly doubt it's the case.
Okay, well, let's see. I found something on Google. Let's see where I'm finding this article and see how accurate it is or how legitimate it is. Let's see. According to Yahoo Sports, Nick Bromberg, on March 4th, 2022, proposed NCAA rule change could give players a chance to appeal targeting ejections is the name of the article.
Yeah, I remember that, but that's like...
This may be the projected rule change. This may not be the actual rule change.
This is the Zacoby against Penn State gets tossed in the second half, and then they come out and say that it was a bad decision. It was the wrong call. Zacoby last season under this new rule would be able to appeal that targeting call and be eligible to play in the first half of the following game.
Correct.
But I don't think that that's the same thing as what we are researching. I have a hard time.
There's
seeing.
A paragraph right here, and it says, let's see. There's a paragraph in here that says the second half ejection piece of a targeting penalty has always felt a little clunky as well. It even carries over through the offseason. A player penalized in the last game of a season is suspended for the first half of the first game of the following season.
Wow.
The chance to appeal for players who might have been wrongfully penalized could at least relieve some of that awkwardness.
That's so stupid.
That's so dumb, man. I'm trying to read this.
I had a really hard time believing that, and then now that you found it, that's dumb.
Because this article is talking about the rule change proposal released by the NCAA Football Rules Committee. So I guess technically it does.
Targeting needs to be cleaned up regardless because of the fact that there needs to be two separate tiers of a targeting foul. Mm-hmm. There needs to be...
Yep.
Targeting with intent, and then basically incidental or accidental targeting, where somebody's trying to make a play.
Flagrant 1, flagrant 2.
Basically, yeah. We have instances where guys will launch with the crown right at the head, and they are trying to inflict some sort of damage on the other player and trying to make a vicious illegal hit.
And when the offensive player lowers his head and shoulder and initiates the contact themselves, but the defensive player gets called for it.
And then there's the ones where like you have an offensive player who's like going to the ground and kind of falls into the helmet of the other player.
Or you can see where they try to turn and avoid. Like there's so many situations that are so wrong with this targeting rule that we have right now. They've got to figure out a way to change it. I hope they do. Surely they will. But we'll see how it is. But that's an interesting topic that we got on. So we appreciate the call. We always like getting interesting questions here. We got to get to our final break as we wrap up hour number one. We've had great calls. We'd love for you to be one of them as well. 334-321-1390 will wrap up the first hour when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Connor Bird with you for the next few minutes before we get out of here for the first hour. But don't go anywhere. We've got a whole other hour coming up at 3 o'clock right here on ESPN 106.7, the Auburn Opelika sports leader. We should get like Ohio State tried to do, get the trademarked. You know, that was really dumb. Did you see when that went down a while back when Ohio State tried to get the word the trademarked?
Did they?
They tried. It didn't. I don't think it worked, but they tried. Which you, I grew up there. Okay, I grew up in Ohio for a long time, and all of my friends are Ohio State fans, and all of them
they won that. They have the trademark.
That's ridiculous. That's actually ridiculous. That actually just ruined my day. But no,
I was pretty sure it went through.
I didn't know it went through. I knew they tried. I didn't know it went through. That's ridiculous.
I love that. That's so good for them.
Good for them.
Be as annoying as possible about it.
Well, they're yeah. Mm. Well, look, man, you can say that about any school. This is the Auburn University. There's no other one. It's the only one. That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. Look, we got a couple minutes as we wrap up this first hour. We've had some great calls, great conversations. We'd love for you to join in as well. 334-321-1390. We got a couple minutes as we wrap up this first hour. In the second hour, we're going to talk to Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick. Really, really interested to see what he has to say about this whole situation. I'm sure he's going to say something along the lines of, we've seen this coming, but I'm interested to see what his thoughts are about the stuff coming out afterwards and what Brian Harsin had to say after he got fired. Of course, Harsin released a statement today. We talked about that a little bit to start the show. We'll talk about it to start the second hour as well. And kind of just looking at the direction of conversation over the next week or two, or really a few weeks, as Terry was kind of talking about, is we've got a few weeks to talk about where Auburn is going to go with this head coaching hire, because nothing is going to happen within the next couple of weeks. I can go ahead and tell you that pretty confidently, that Auburn's not going to make a move this fast because they haven't had the time to talk to anybody. And the brand new athletic director just got announced officially last night by Auburn. So,
well, I mean, I think things are actively in motion.
Oh, I think they're making calls.
There are some reports out there today that maybe Auburn might be meeting with Deion Sanders' people, at least rumors.
Rumors.
I'm pretty sure that somebody reported it, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, well, I can say at least in the next week, Auburn is not going to have a brand new football coach. They just fired the guy. I don't think they're going to bring in a guy within a week. It took them over a month to get a new athletic director. You really think they're going to go in and get a head coach in a week? No way.
I'm not saying they're going to get a coach in that amount
of time. But they're definitely making moves, and they're making calls.
The wheels are in motion.
Oh, yeah. Well, they better be.
Well, honestly, some of these coaches, like a Hugh Freeze, it wouldn't shock me. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if they left their job with a game or two left on the schedule to go ahead and start up things at the bigger school. It wouldn't shock me. I don't think it's going to happen. But I can't say I'd be shocked.
We'll see how it goes. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. They got about a month to figure it out. They better figure it out, though. That's all I'm saying. Look, hour number one, it's in the books. We got a whole lot more to talk about in hour number two. It's all coming up.
An Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, online at espnau.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy November. It's officially November 1st, 2022. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. Hour number one, officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two, officially underway here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. As Carter's answering the phones, we will get to the phone lines in just a few minutes. 334-321-1390 is the number to put you through to us. We had some great calls in hour number one. We would love for you to call in and be a part of the show in hour number two. 334-321-1390, that number again. But if you missed any of hour number one, be sure to go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to espnau.com, click on the podcast center, and you can find it all right there. Speaking of espnau.com, our SEC football challenge is continuing on, and week nine has a winner. It is Nick Pike from Opelika. He went 4-5 this week in week nine of the SEC Football Challenge. It's all presented by the Orthopedic Clinic, Buffalo Rock Pepsi, Johnny Brusco's Pizza, and Wickles Pickles. So big thank you to them. This week's prize was a Wickles Pickles prize pack and a 12-pack of Pepsi. So congratulations to Nick Pike. You are the week nine winner. Be sure to get your picks in for week 10. We're giving away a $25 Visa gift card from the Orthopedic Clinic and a 12-pack of Pepsi from Buffalo Rock Pepsi. So be sure to get your picks in ESPNAU.com under the contest tab for the SEC Football Challenge. Let's get to the phone lines though. 334-321-1390. Who are we speaking with?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, I'm not a Auburn fan, but I'm of course a college football fan.
Okay.
But I want to ask you some of my opinion.
Yeah.
First and foremost, what's the hype about Lane Kiffin? I mean, Lane Kiffin is a great coach, but I'm hearing Auburn says, you know, rumor Lane Kiffin is the first choice. What's the hooper? I mean, he's a good coach, but he's not groundbreaking. If I'm an Auburn fan, you can say what you want to about the guy, but I'm going after Urban Meyer as my first choice.
Well, Urban Meyer is definitely, we know the legend of Urban Meyer.
It'd be fascinating.
It would be very, very interesting. I don't know if Urban is looking to get back into coaching. Obviously, he's been out of it for a few years. He's got his gig with Fox.
I think he is trying to get back, but he can be very selective because he's got a sweet deal with Fox.
Yeah, exactly. But I think with Lane Kiffin, I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a really good recruiter.
He could potentially win 10 games 2 years in a row at Ole Miss.
At Ole Miss.
Does not happen.
And I think the energy that he brings around a football program and within the program and the fan base and the players and everybody, when Lane Kiffin shows up, you know when Lane Kiffin shows up.
If you gave Lane Kiffin Auburn's resources, with what he's doing at Ole Miss, he could do serious damage in this conference.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Okay, let's just do a 10-year window.
Okay.
Kirby Smart is not going anywhere.
Yep.
And if you look at Josh Heupel, what he's doing in Tennessee, he's definitely not going nowhere. So would you put Lane Kiffin above those two, or because that's who he's going to have to go against?
I wouldn't put him above Kirby because Kirby's been there longer and has won a national championship. I'd put him right there and even ahead of Josh Heupel. To be honest, for me, Heupel's right now, he's in his first year of a real spike at Tennessee. And also, keep in mind, there is still, it's down the road a little bit, but there is a looming cloud of potential NCAA sanctions over that Tennessee program, and eventually, that kind of has to come home to roost a little bit, which is going to handcuff Heupel to some extent down the road.
Okay, I didn't think about that. Well, I like I said, I don't know. Me personally, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I like Deion. I just like his
Agreed.
Point. I think he would be a great recruiter and just 100%. Bring a different type of culture to Auburn. But hey, I love the show, fellas. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate. We appreciate the call, man. We appreciate the kind words as always. We love hearing from them. But look, with comparing Deion and Lane, if you want to get into that conversation, if you want to talk about, out of all the names that have been talked about for Auburn's potential head coach, if you want to pick the one that's the best recruiter and going to get the most talent, it's Deion Sanders by a million. But if you want to talk about a guy that's a good recruiter, a good coach, and a good energy, You're talking about Lane Kiffin, and kind of like Carter talked about, a guy that's on the verge of winning 10 games in back-to-back years at Ole Miss, Mississippi. Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what he could do at Auburn. With everything we've talked about, with the stars that seem to be aligning over here, there's a lot of potential, not just for Lane Kiffin, but for whoever the next head football coach is.
Look, I have long made it clear that I think the most exciting and the most fun hire would be Deion Sanders. And I think you'd get the most talent in the door the fastest. Lane Kiffin and Deion Sanders are my one and two candidates. And you can figure out which one you want to put first, but I think both of them would be awesome.
Well, I think it's interesting, again, this conversation of the coaching carousel, if you will, that is Auburn football right now. Yesterday before the show, I pulled up a Google Doc right on my computer, and I wrote down 12 names that popped into my head just thinking about this head coaching job search and the names that have popped around. And here's the 12 names that I came up with that I have thought of, read, heard, or seen, right? These are the 12 names that I wrote down. No particular order, all right? These are just the names that came to my head when I started writing them down. And now I think all of these, I've seen them, so this is not just me making it up. Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, Deion Sanders, Matt Rhule, Mark Stoops, Jeff Grimes, Dave Aranda, Urban Meyer, Luke Fickell, Bill Clark, Chip Kelly. I even saw Kevin Steele. So those are the 12 names.
Chip Kelly and Kevin Steele are complete non-starters.
I agree, but those are the 12 names that I have seen on a consistent basis, or at least once or twice, and those are the ones. So think about that, though. There are, you could say 10 out of that 12 are legitimately being considered or talked about for this Auburn head coaching job.
Well, I mean, I would say Lane, Deion, Grimes, Stoops, Rhule, and maybe Urban, and that's probably it for me in terms of the ones that I think are out there.
Yeah, and yeah, I think, and again, this was just sitting down, just right spitballing names that I've seen, heard, or whatever, mm-hmm. and that shows how big and wide of a range that this Auburn head coaching job.
Lanning. I should add
Lanning,
add
yeah,
Lanning in
yeah, that's fair. But that just shows how much and how big this coaching search is for Auburn right now. Let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Ed, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey guys, I'm enjoying your show. I'm sorry I had to leave just a second ago. I'm going through going through some kind of flu thing that's going through, a lot of coughing going on.
Well, I hate to hear that. Hope you get feeling better, Ed.
Yeah, I'm okay. But isn't it nice to be on kind of a positive note for Auburn people? That things are happening in the positive, mm-hmm. you know.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and you, with the new coaching facility open, football facility open,
mm-hmm.
There's no limit to what somebody can do at Auburn right now.
And, I agree.
And the coaches, I think Deion, that's who I would like to see. That's just me. But Lane Kiffin would be my number two. I really do not want anything to do with Hugh Freeze. But if they get him, I'll support him, you know, like I tried to support Horace, you know, Brian. But anyway, I was just wanting to put my two cents in. I'm sorry, I've got nobody. I'm having a conversation.
Oh, you're good. You're all right. Hey, we appreciate you calling in, Ed. It's good to hear from you, and hope you feel okay and start feeling a little bit better dealing with some flu symptoms. So hope you get
Absolutely.
Feeling better, Ed. But look, here's one thing that's – look, it's so crazy. There's so many different ways to go with these conversations, right? And that's what's so much fun about what we get to do. And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, is not just who is Auburn's coach going to be, but why they're going to get them, what they can do here, how Auburn fans accept them, what Auburn can do to make that coach successful here, what that coach can do to be successful. I mean, there's so many different ways to talk about this.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree there. And then when you hear the conversation around Deion Sanders, I do think if people want to get a better feeling for Deion Sanders as a recruiter and the talent he can bring in the door, there is an article on Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover, by our friend Christian Clemente, titled "Recruits: If Auburn Got Deion, I'd Flip." And that article, to me, if you just want to get a feel for what the vibe would be around the country in recruiting circles, that one would say a lot. And it even highlights he landed two top 55 recruits in this last cycle, including Travis Hunter, the number one player in the country. So he's already gone head-to-head with Kirby and Saban and even Mike Norvell at FSU, who had Travis Hunter committed already, and he's won. So what could he do with resources and money and NIL? I think the sky is the limit. It's all about the staff that he puts in place and how strong that is in terms of just how low the floor is.
As we get into conversations here in the second hour of On the Line, a couple of things I want to note. One thing I've learned about the very limited conversation that you and I have had about this coaching search, and again, we've got time to talk about this. That's why we're not fully diving into this just yet, because we do have a little bit of time to really talk about all of the different coaching candidates who have a potential to be the next head football coach at Auburn. But one thing I've learned is no matter who it is, not everybody's going to be happy. And that's just every situation in life, right? You can't please everybody. But we've had multiple callers over the last couple of days, and we love hearing from you, and we'd love to hear from anybody else who hasn't called in with their pick and suggestion, 334-321-1390. But we've heard Lane, we've heard Dion, we've heard Hugh, right? We've heard Matt Rhule, we've heard Urban Meyer. I mean, we've heard different names already, and one thing that we've figured out is you're not going to make everybody happy with one specific hire. So Auburn needs to go out and find the guy that's best for Auburn, right? But something else that we talked about a little bit in the first hour, haven't mentioned it here in the second hour. If you've yet to see the statement released by Brian Harsin today, happens to be his birthday. So happy birthday to Brian Harsin. But the statement he released today about his firing from Auburn, and I read it all in the first half, not going to read it through it all again. You can just Google Brian Harsin's statement on Google and you can find it pretty easily. But really, the couple of lines that stick out to us and have been standing out to people so far today, he says, like any coach with the benefit of hindsight, there are things that could have been done differently. I don't pretend to be perfect, but I am certain I will be better moving forward because of this experience. I truly believe Auburn has the potential to be a championship program once again. The resources, financial support, and fan base are in place. There are good people throughout this program and university. With complete alignment, the possibilities are endless. And that's the line that has really gotten people fired up, because they feel like this is just one last little nudge or one last little stick of the knife on his way out. And everything he said is true, right? I think everything that he is saying right there in that paragraph is true, because Auburn does have the potential to be a championship program. The resources, financial support, and fan base, they are in place, right? And those are continuing to grow every single day in this town over at that school. And there are good people throughout the program. I think we can agree on that. With complete alignment, the possibilities are endless. Now, there's a lot of people that have taken that phrase right there and they've said, okay, that's just a shot in the dark at people behind the scenes and that limited him to what he did or couldn't do. But is he completely wrong? I don't think so. It depends on how you look at the context of what he said.
It's an unnecessary add-in to his statement. It is a veiled threat. That's how it reads. That's how everybody's going to take it. It's a veiled shot, and I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's the best thing he could have done was just to not include it in the statement. It makes him look a little bit petty and a little bit like he's making some excuses. And you're seeing some people react that way now.
Yes, but my thing is, I agree. I don't think he should have said it, because with the context and where he put it and how he said it,
he's right. Yes,
he's taking a shot, but he is right.
Just because you are right doesn't mean you have to say it on the way out the door.
That is very true. That is very true. But think about what he's talking about, right? By the way,
I think alignment is going to get figured out under this next coaching staff. Don't know who it is. But he didn't have it because he never embraced Auburn. But I think there is a path to it happening under this new coach.
And everything around the program is starting to align as well. So all you got to do, it seems like right now for Auburn, is go find that guy. Whether it's Lane Kiffin, whether it's Deion Sanders, Hugh Freeze, Urban Meyer, Matt Rhule, Bill Clark, whoever it needs to be for Auburn, once you find that guy, and this is the sort of what we ended the show with yesterday, it's time for Auburn to go and find that guy. Because NIL is really, really killing it right now, and it seems to be only going up from here. You're about to open a brand new football facility. Whoever the brand new coach is, they get to open that facility as the brand new coach, right? You've got everybody who now feels refreshed that this Brian Harsin experiment that failed so miserably is now over. Everybody seems to be rejoicing a little bit and is ready to move on because they know the potential behind what Auburn football can do. You have a brand new athletic director. Everything seems to be a clean restart for Auburn right now. And Brian Harsin stating with complete alignment the possibilities are endless, he's not wrong. Was it wrong to say it there? Yes, but the statement itself is not, because when Auburn does get fully aligned on the football front, you better watch out, because Auburn football is coming. Look at basketball, look at baseball, and you know what? Those are about to take a next step up as well. We got to get to a break, our first one here in hour number two. We'd love to hear from you, though, 334-321-1390. We're going to have another segment when we come back, and then Trey Wallace of OutKick will join us at 3:30. All that coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Again, just continuing on with the conversation of Brian Harsin being fired yesterday, Auburn hiring a new athletic director. That became official last night. Of course, the reports came out about 11 o'clock or so yesterday morning, and then Auburn released their official statement that he has been hired. John Cohen from Mississippi State, he is now Auburn's new athletic director, and it seems like we've heard quotes from the likes of Bruce Pearl, who seemed to really like the guy and seemed to acknowledge his SEC experience. And we know what his resume looks like. And we sort of talked about this yesterday, Carter, about his judging the guy based off his resume and what he has done at Mississippi State and what he puts focus on, where it's facilities, NIL, two big things that Auburn athletics are looking for. Look at the baseball program, upgrades needing to be done to the baseball facilities. You're looking at Auburn basketball, who's looking to get an all-basketball facility for Bruce Pearl. I mean, there are things that need to be done to Plainsman Park and for Auburn basketball, and plus other programs, too, that are probably going to get done with the new athletic director.
Yeah, I think that if Auburn hits a home run with this coach, If it's a Lane Kiffin, if it's somebody like that, and then you immediately start looking at facilities upgrades that need to happen in Auburn, if John Cohen does that, you're going to see a lot of people jump on board very quickly. Because, look, I mean, let's be honest, there are facilities in Auburn that very much need upgrades. Plainsman Park is not done. There needs to be a lot done to it. There have been some additions here recently that have helped it, but I still think there is work to do. The soccer facility still has bleachers, unused bleachers from the original renovation, or it may be the original build of Plainsman Park. That needs to get better. And then you have the fact that Jordan-Hare Stadium,
yep,
for the last
that's where I was about
decade
to go.
Plus has needed some sort of work done to it besides the recruiting facility and the off in the corner weird press box, and
which should not be press boxes, they should be suites,
and the video board. There, something needs to be done in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I think these are all things to keep an eye on under John Cohen and see if the facilities start to catch up with some, because some of the other places in the SEC have already moved forward with these types of facilities upgrades. Do you see Auburn now kind of play a little bit of catch up in this time period with John Cohen here over the next few years?
Well, it's a very crucial time for an athletic director to be coming in for Auburn because of what's happening with the football program, because of where the basketball program is and is still going, because of where the baseball program is and still going. And that's just looking at the three main sports. That's not even getting into some of the ones you talked about. Soccer, right? Or you can look at volleyball, swim and dive, gymnastics, whatever you need to do. I mean, Auburn Athletics right now, outside of the main three, Auburn Athletics are really thriving. And you've got to be able to reward them and give them the facilities and the equipment and the resources to continue to be great and continue to get even better as the years go on. I mean, look at Auburn Gymnastics right now. They're getting top five, and they're getting five-star recruits left and right. They've still got an Olympian on the team. I mean, there's just so many good things going on at Auburn right now that you've got to be able to reward coaches, athletes, and programs for their continued success.
Yeah, I mean, if Auburn wants to be an everything school, which right now they're having great success across the board in athletics for the most part, Auburn has got to have the facilities on par to be an everything school. If we're going to stay true to the words of Bruce Pearl, let's step up and let's make these facilities happen, which I know takes money, and I know you and I, my friend, don't make enough money to really make an impact that much into that.
Unfortunately, we do not. No, unfortunately, we don't. But you're right. I mean, there's obviously it's easier than just saying, hey, let's make upgrades to Jordan Hare Stadium and snap your fingers and make it done. We understand that. But to make sure, and I like where you were going with that, talking about Auburn being an everything school, if you want to claim that title, you've got to make sure that you are putting money in upgrading everything, not just the football stadium, not just the basketball arena, not just the baseball stadium, not just the softball field. You've got to put money into everything, because if you put money into it, you will get stuff out of it. That's just how it works. And I think Auburn can do that. People worried about Auburn not having the money to upgrade things or go out and pay a coach. We've seen a lot of people make that argument that Auburn doesn't have the money to go out and get a good coach. I don't believe that. They're paying $35 million to two guys that aren't even coaching here anymore. So I think Auburn's got enough money to go out and upgrade some facilities and pay a good coach to come here and be the next football coach.
Yeah, I think they absolutely do. And I think that I keep coming back to the world of college athletics is about to change because of TV rights money and how that shakes everything up. The money that these schools are going to all of a sudden come into, it's going to be at a different level in the SEC and Big Ten. And so you might start seeing those schools start kind of shoveling money out on facilities and things like that, coaches to a level that we have not seen before.
Yeah, and that's what makes it exciting too, is all of that realignment talk with college football, with college athletics, which comes with those TV deals that you're kind of talking about. So Auburn is about to have a good amount of, good chunk of change, if you will, to do the things that they need to do. And I think this is a perfect time, kind of going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, with Auburn being in a good spot to be successful long-term, not just in football, but in multiple sports, with a new athletic director, bringing in a new football coach, having NIL be as good as it is and getting better by the day. And I just think everybody has really decided to rally around Auburn Athletics and especially Auburn football, because look, that is the one that brings in the most money. That's just what it means to be a football school in the SEC. That's just how it is. Auburn has and will have the money to do the things that they need to do, and it's exciting to see where Auburn Athletics goes. But to say that Auburn doesn't have the money to go out and to say that Auburn can't afford Lane Kiffin or Deion Sanders for Auburn football, that's just wrong, because they've got the money. They'll do what they need to do. Now the question becomes, how much do you have to pay those guys for them to leave where they're at?
Yeah, I think that this is going to be the immediate future of Auburn Athletics, and the money that's about to be spent is going to, it might make some Auburn fans a little uncomfortable because they haven't seen Auburn spend this much money, because, and they, some people that may not believe that you spend this much money on a coach and you spend this much money on facilities. That's the way the game's played now. It's the way the game's played. NIL, you need to raise that money as well. We know that Auburn's approaching $15 million in year one, which is awesome. Fantastic.
Which is killing it.
And is exactly what you need to build a competitive roster here in the future. And I am very excited to see what how that impacts Auburn Athletics, because I think on to victory, you saw all the stuff that came out here recently about from I think a lot of it was from On3 discussing that Auburn is a sleeping giant in NIL that appears to be starting to wake up. And
which was not the case like 6 months ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was. I don't think that there was probably slower buy-in from the big money people at Auburn than you would have hoped. But now here we are. Everybody's on board. Everybody knows how critical NIL is for success. And I think Auburn's about to do some serious damage with NIL.
It's crazy to think that college athletics, the name of the game, it's all about the money. That's where college athletics just are nowadays. And 10 years ago, it wasn't about which program and which school had the most money. It was about where they put their money and how they spent the amount of money they had. But now, it's just, well, how much money can we get through the door and pump into our athletes' pockets? How much money can we get and put into facilities? Who can have the nicest stuff the quickest? That is the name of the game, is money nowadays for college athletics. I think Auburn is going to be in a really good spot. I think Auburn has a chance to do some really, really big things in a lot of different areas for Auburn Athletics, not just the football program. We're going to get Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick, on the phone. He will wrap up the show with us here on the other side of this break.
Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Welcoming in a good friend of ours, Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick. He joins us every Tuesday at 3:30 here on the show. Trey, it's a busy time here in Auburn. I know you are busy as well, man. How are you?
I'm good. We, you know, we've been talking about this day in these last couple of days for, my goodness, what? It's been 7 weeks, and finally Auburn decided to sack up and do what they've been wanting to do for a while now, and you got a new athletic director on campus, you got a new head coach is probably about, I don't know, I want to say 3 weeks, 4 weeks away from being on campus, maybe a little bit longer, but times are changing in Auburn.
Well, as you are alluding to, Auburn has decided to make the move and fire head coach Brian Harsin. He did not make it a full 2 years here as the football coach. What is your initial reactions to, like you said, the news and the day that Auburn has been waiting on for a long time?
You know, I just, it didn't fit, and he didn't fit. The coordinators that he brought in didn't fit. I think when you look back on this, you know, it's going to be an interesting little blip on Auburn's radar. And what a lot of people understand and maybe don't fully grasp is there were just so many people that were against this hire when Allen Green made it. That I think that it got everything off to a rough start. Right. I'm talking first 3-4 days got off to a rough start. And the fact that, you know, we don't see college teams usually firing coaches a year and, 7-8 games into a, 20 games into a tenure. We don't usually see that happen a lot. But in this case, Auburn needed to. They had to. There was the alignment was horrible, and Brian Harsin talked about it too in his little statement that he gave out. You know, he talked about alignment for the future and how that's got to be corrected. And I agree with him on that part. I think that, you know, if Auburn's going to turn this thing around and they're going to do it in the next 2 years, 3 years, there has got to be some type of synergy between the guys that are writing the checks, the administration over there, and I'm not talking about the athletic administration. I'm talking about the president's office, the administration, and then what John Cohen and them are going to try to do in the athletic department. If you don't have that, it's a recipe for disaster. And again, I'll kind of say it this way. I'm sitting in a town right now in Knoxville, kind of getting ready, talking to some folks before heading down to Athens. And, you know, this is a university that has come together. I think that's something that Auburn's missing. Maybe they get it right with the next coach and the athletic director, Cohen, who was just hired. But it's just time. It was time. And, you know, pay the man, let him go away. He'll get another coaching job and let Auburn figure out the future.
So with that quote about in the statement about alignment, what are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of people around the Auburn fan base and then even some beat writers here with the local news papers, they kind of have highlighted that quote as kind of almost like a parting passive-aggressive shot. Do you view it that way, or do you view it as he's just putting that out in a statement? How do you view that comment?
I view it as a deserved comment towards Auburn. I view it as Brian Harsin, yes. If he's going to put out a statement, I'm glad he took a subtle shot at Auburn. And I mean it this way. I don't mean this against Auburn fans or anything like that. But the administration has been so screwed up at Auburn for the past number of years. And you've got people outside the program trying to run the program with their checkbook. And when that happens, you're going to have the alignment's going to be horrible when it comes to trying to get everybody on the same page, you know, heading in one direction when it comes to the health of the football program. You know, we can't forget, and I think this is lost on a lot of people, and not all, but a lot. You know, go back to those 2 weeks last off season where Brian Harsin, his family, his friends were getting just drugged through the mud over that investigation. And everybody thought it was over then. And a lot of that had to do with outside influences around Auburn putting some stuff out there that I thought, A, was disrespectful. I thought it was distasteful. I thought when you look at what they were doing and what they were investigating, and I get why they had to open an inquiry. I understand that part. But there was a lot of add-on to it that probably didn't need to be in there. And then Brian Harsin had to be the head coach at Auburn, and had to is a strong word because he could have left, but whatever. You know what I mean by that.
Oh, yeah.
He had to sit around there at Auburn and deal with this thing hanging over his head for 8-9 months. And you can imagine the toll that took on his family and him personally. It's not like he's a bad guy. He was just a bad fit at Auburn. You know, I think he's going to go do good things wherever he ends up. Maybe that's back at Boise. Who knows what happens? I don't know. But I think overall, I credit him for getting through the last 9 months, but also knowing at the same time that he wasn't the man for the job. He never was going to be the man for the job. And it was about time that Auburn finally made that decision once they had John Cohen signed on the dotted line.
Speaking with Trey Wallace from Outkick, he covers the SEC for them. As Brian Harsin is out the door, Trey, the question now becomes, where does Auburn go for their next head football coach?
And I'm going to throw out names, and you guys, I know, have probably already talked about them, you know, for at least 5 hours over the last 2 days. But, you know, Lane Kiffin's on that list, guys.
Uh-huh.
Hugh Freeze on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders is a guy that would have to make a decision if he wants to jump at the first job that comes open that might be attractive. I think that's where it gets interesting to me. I do think that there is mutual admiration between Auburn and Matt Rhule, former Carolina Panthers coach, former Baylor head coach, after talking with some people. I think there's a list of four names right now. Then there's going to be a couple sleepers that nobody knows about. But I will say this, and I wrote about this today. John Cohen has had the last 2 to 3 years to sit back and watch what Lane Kiffin and watch what Deion Sanders has done in the state of Mississippi. And if you want to go back further, you can with what Hugh Freeze did, you know, with Ole Miss. He's not walking into this thing blind. And I promise you, before he signed on that dotted line, he had a number of coaches in mind that he could call up, gauge your interest, and know that they would at least take the phone call, be interested in the Auburn job. And if it got to a point where you have to have conversations, then you have to have conversations. Everything changes now, guys, with this new transfer portal period, which is going to start technically the week after the Iron Bowl. So right there at SEC Championship week, players are going to be able to enter the portal, and there's going to be a window for them to do this. And then you got the early signing day. So a lot of people have been saying, well, you know, Auburn can take their time, go find the right coach, the right fit. No. Auburn's got to get a man in place at least right after the regular season finale, just because of everything that could go on in those 3 weeks following the Iron Bowl.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what we've been talking about, is like the day or two after the Iron Bowl is where Auburn has got to make a move and make the announcement because of all of those things you just talked about, the transfer portal and the early signing period.
Well, I'll give you an example. Let's see, what was it, 4 years ago? I'm trying to remember, Tennessee time. Jeremy Pruitt, they had the whole fiasco in Knoxville, Tennessee, where Mike Leach was the coach one day, Greg Schiano was the coach next day. Turned out to be Jeremy Pruitt. Well, let's not forget, during that time period, on that Friday of the Egg Bowl between Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Dan Mullen, according to text messages that were released during the John Curry data dump, which is Tennessee's former AD, Dan Mullen was going to meet with Tennessee and going to meet with Florida the night after the Egg Bowl. And what happened? He is the new head coach of Florida a day and a half after the Egg Bowl ended between Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Tennessee had their coach, what was it, a day and a half after the regular season? Well, technically they had a coach in Greg Schiano until – it all went haywire. So what I'm getting at is that time frame-wise, we're still sitting right there right after the regular season finale, championship week, because I don't know if Auburn is going to have the luxury when it comes to their recruiting class and also when it comes to the transfer portal window to sit around and wait till Christmas to get themselves a coach. They need to be talking with some folks. They need to have some things lined up behind the scenes. And when that regular season finale is done, and I'll just say whether it's Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin, Deion Sanders, you know, Rule, Dillingham for Morgan, you got to have the guy signed on the dotted line once it's over. And you know, it would get tricky if maybe one or two of those coaches are playing for championships. But Auburn's a different breed, and I think that they're going to have to move kind of quick over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Trey, kind of moving forward the rest of this season, Cadillac Williams is the interim head coach. There's been a lot of turnover and a lot of new roles for people on staff. How do you see this Auburn team responding, especially on Saturday? I know that it's going to be a weird week as everybody settles into these new roles. And how do you see them kind of playing out over the rest of the season?
It's going to be a weird week because John Cohen doesn't even have to leave Starkville. He can just stay there and hang out, wait for his new school to come to town this weekend. That's why it's going to be weird. But I think that they were very smart in giving that interim job to Cadillac. He is a staple point of Auburn football. I remember growing up watching Cadillac Williams. When somebody asked me the other day, you know, if Harson's gone, who do you make interim? Well, that's easy. It's Cadillac Williams. And I think that he surrounded himself. I know they got rid of a bunch of coaches. I saw today where Will Friend is going to be a co-offensive coordinator. Whatever. Take that at its worth. I think this Auburn team actually shows up over the next month. I do. I think you're going to have a rejuvenated squad, a group that is coming out to play for their seniors, play for the guys that aren't going to be in the program any longer.
And I want to say this, too. You know, I was talking to a Auburn player who hit the transfer portal recently. And I asked him, I said, if Auburn makes a move and they decide to get rid of Harsin, would you think about staying at Auburn? And the answer was absolutely yes. So that's what you have to do in the meantime as well. You know, if you got a couple players, you know, that were on the fence thinking about leaving, you got to spend the next 4 weeks, you know, until that December 5th period hits, seeing if you can get some of these guys to stay as well. So the current staff, and it's awkward, guys. It's awkward for the current staff because they're sitting around. They don't know what their future holds. They don't know what they're going to be brought over to the next squad, the next coaching staff. So they're also, at the same time while they're coaching, these folks have families. They're trying to provide for their families. They're trying to figure out what the next move is, if there's going to be a next move. So there's a lot on these Auburn coaches' plate right now. But I think come Saturday, I think you're going to see a rejuvenated football team against Mississippi State.
Talking with Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Obviously, it was going to be a very Auburn-heavy day with you on the phone, my friend, but it would be it would just be incorrect if we did not ask you about Georgia and Tennessee on Saturday. As it stands right now with the AP poll, it's number one versus number two. Of course, the college football playoff rankings come out tonight, so we'll see if those numbers adjust a little bit. But this is a top two matchup in the entire country on Saturday in Athens, Georgia. What are your thoughts on it?
Man, I'm telling you something. We don't get these matchups a lot. And I know a lot of it to Auburn fans, you're like, well, I don't care. You know, and I know Auburn fans don't like Georgia. And you look around the country and you're like, oh, okay, really? SEC one versus two again? We haven't seen this since what? I think it was 2017, something like that. It's only happened a couple times in the last 10 years. But I think this is probably one of the coolest matchups you're going to see. And I say that because you got one offense in Tennessee. It is high up tempo, runs a play every 4.5 seconds. You got a Georgia team, and Stetson Bennett, who likes to run the ball, tries to hit the play action, slows things down a bit, will speed it up when they have to. I look at, you know, in Georgia losing Nolan Smith today, which is just horrible news. You hate to see him be lost for the season with a torn pec. But I just look at this game overall. I just think it's going to be fun. It's just going to be a fun game to tune into. And here's how I think the game will go. Somebody's going to either win by 30 or this thing is going to come down to a field goal at the end of the game. I don't know if there's going to be any middle ground. I don't know if there's going to be a 14-point win for somebody. I think this thing turns into a blowout, or we get a field goal. And I know that that's, you know, making a broad assumption and leaving a lot of wiggle room, but I just feel like both of these teams, you know, have the ability to skirt it, you know, get out quick if they want. And, you know, we saw this past weekend with Georgia against Florida. They left Florida back in it, and then Georgia put their foot on the throat there towards the end. So, you know, I'm excited for this game, excited to cover it. And we also can't forget that one that happened down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, between Alabama and LSU. That's probably going to be one to decide the SEC West until, you know, Ole Miss tries to get back into flavor. So a lot is going to be found out this weekend in regards to the SEC.
Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick, he's one of the best in the business, and we appreciate him coming on every single week. Man, let everybody know where they can keep up with you and everything you're doing with OutKick.
Absolutely. You can follow me at TreyWallace_ on Twitter. Follow all my work at OutKick.com. And if I got any advice, I've gone through 4 coaching searches. I've covered 4 coaching searches in the last 10 years. Don't freak out. Some of the names that come out are just farces. It's all smoke. Don't believe everything that you read out there. There's going to be a surprise candidate or two, and this thing's going to take a minute. Sit back, enjoy it, see what comes of it, and make sure you call in to you guys, and y'all discuss it for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, man, you're exactly right. We are going to enjoy it, and we hope you do as well, man. I hope you have a great time covering Tennessee, Georgia. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
that
it.
Is Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick, joining us as he does every single Tuesday here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We got to get to our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side of this break.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Big thank you to Trey Wallace, who covers the SEC for OutKick. He does a great job over there, and he always comes on, and he's great on here as well, man. We really do enjoy having him on every single week, and especially in weeks like this where there's big Auburn news to talk about. There's a massive SEC showdown this week, Georgia and Tennessee. Of course, we haven't had a chance to talk about that yet, but we will get into some of those matchups later on in the week. But again, big thank you to Trey Wallace. He covers the SEC for OutKick. He does a fantastic job. Well, if you missed any of today's show, be sure to go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center. You can find it all right there. And as we wrap up the show, we got a couple of minutes. His final words was, Trey Wallace, was, don't flip out. Enjoy the ride, and don't believe everything you read. And you know what? He's right.
You know, I feel very calm. I think that this, for the first time in a while, it feels like there's not a lot of panic. And I feel like Auburn has a pretty good plan. And I think it's going to work out. I really do. I think it's going to work out better than it has maybe the last few rounds through, and probably at the end of this. I think right now, Auburn's going to come out of this feeling pretty solid. Auburn fans are going to feel good, and there's going to be a lot of hope.
The statement I made earlier about Auburn fans, when whoever Auburn decides to hire, you're not going to please everybody, and I think that's just how life is. I mean, you're not going to please every single person with who you bring in, but I do think it's important that you bring in a guy that A, can get the job done. That's obviously most important. But there are about four names, I think, that Auburn fans, if you hired one of them, they would be happy with. And they would sit back and say, okay, I can get behind this. I can support this. I'm excited about this hire. Let's see what this guy can do. I think there's about four or five names where if Auburn goes that direction, most fans are going to be happy. What Auburn cannot do is go out and hire a guy that nobody expects to be brought in, that nobody is agreeing with, that nobody wants to see as the next head coach. I don't have those names. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular right now, but wouldn't that be the most Auburn thing ever to go out and hire, after all of this search and every single name that pops in and out, Auburn go out and get somebody completely random? Please don't do that, right? Go out and get a guy that can
Rhett
get
Lashley.
The job. Kevin Steele.
That's what I'm saying. I have a hard time seeing that one happen.
But that's what I'm saying. Don't pull a Kevin Steele.
If it did happen, though.
Just don't drop the ball, Auburn. That's all we're saying. Just don't drop the ball. man, we got to get out of here. The drive from 4 to 6, it's coming up right after this. Come back tomorrow, same time. We'll be right here. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.